News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
So the Freddie Mercury Queen biopic Bohemian Rhapsody may very well have spawned a whole new genre of film. And as David Bellavia told us just moments ago, the latest biopic to come out of Hollywood is going to be depicting the life and times of Elton John. I would love to see a movie about the life and times of Lynyrd Skynyrd. Everything about the Lynyrd Skynyrd story is fascinating, from how the man really got its name to the musical genius and talent of the people in the band to the tragic, untimely, and yet foreseen by himself death of Ronnie Van Zant and two or three other people on the plane carrying Lynyrd Skynyrd. Everything about the Lynyrd Skynyrd story says, wow, what a great story. I mean, you even had married people in the band who did not get off that plane alive, and a number of survivors like Artemis Pyle. So you would like to see a musical biopic about what performer or what band? David, how about the Monkees? Do they fit in at all?
No. I mean, unless it's a comedy, there's really nothing about the Monkees musically that's, I guess it's like the first reality, making the band type of thing for the 60s. But I think, Elvis is due. Cobain. They've made a couple of Cobain-type movies. There was one that was basically Kurt Cobain, but it didn't give his name. But, it'd be nice to see something having to do with that era of music. I mean, honestly, Michael Jackson, there's a whole lot going on there.
That's such a no-brainer, I didn't even think about it.
But, I mean, would they be honest?
Well, that's the key, because certainly some skeletons in the Michael, and a lot of drugs in Michael Jackson's closet. Let's get to some calls on WBEN. Larry, they need to make a movie about whom?
Harry Nilsson.
That's going to be a tough sell. Explain yourself.
He was friends with the Beatles, and he was in John Lennon was in a song that he wrote about put the lime in the coconut, you shake it all up. And he was in that, and he was good friends with Ringo Starr. And John Lennon and the Beatles said that he's, out of all the bands, he's the most important band to them. And he was only one man, but he wrote like 278 songs.
And
can you believe he died way back in 1994, Harry Nilsson?
Their songs, but he wrote a lot of his own.
I'm good for about 200 songs. I'm not sure they'd be any good, though. That's the difference. He wrote 278 songs, and they're amazing.
You can look him up. I mean,
no, I'm just saying, like, that's the thing. It's not, to me, it's not about how many songs you can put out. It's about how much quality you can put out. You look at the Beatles and guys like, all those guys. They're just amazing bodies of work.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's like anyone can write a book. Well, you could write 12 books, but would they be good? Fountainhead. If I showed you the manuscript of Fountainhead, you'd be like, what is this? No one's going to read that.
Big question is there a market yet for a Weezer movie? All right, what band or performer should they be making a movie about right now? The Freddie Mercury movie, the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, seems to have spawned a whole new trend in Hollywood. I want to see a Lynyrd Skynyrd movie in the worst way, only because I really think I could play the role of Ronnie Van Zant. Let's go to Let's go to George in Cheektowaga on WBEN. George, hello.
The Travis Tritt movie.
This is a great topic. I'm really excited to speak to you. I saw the Queen movie twice, and actually it was really good. A couple of you said Elvis would be great, because I think Elvis is like, probably if you read about him, like a really interesting person. There's a lot of sides to his personality, and the Skynyrd thing's a good idea too, because I remember when I was about 12 and they had that plane crash, how like devastating that all was.
I remember the Irv Weinstein newscast where they led off with the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash. I was devastated.
Yeah, I actually was reading Cream magazine. It was a great magazine back in the day.
Cream magazine?
Cream magazine, it was called. It was a rock magazine.
Thanks for clearing that one up.
Yeah, and the two I would really like to see is I would like to see a movie about Mick Jagger. and they have the Stones part of it. One movie I'd really like to see, but they put on hold, Scorsese was supposed to do, because they could not find actors that they thought they could pull off the characters, is a movie about the Ramones.
Yeah, I saw that. They almost, I think they shifted that to a documentary.
Yeah, they did a great documentary on it. I have it.
Yeah.
But I met them a couple times at Buff State, and they were such strange people.
Well, you know, there was rumor that Howard Stern was going to be in a Ramones film.
Yeah, he could definitely, if he would have lost some weight, he could definitely be Joey.
Yeah, I mean, that's a spitting image. You know, one of the, there's a really good Bobby Darin. I don't know if you know the story of Bobby Darin, but one of the guys that just had a really just crazy amount of talent. He went from, you know, singing and doing the crooner thing and becoming a pop sensation to going to Hollywood. And, you know, he died, one of the first people in the United States to have open heart surgery, and passed away and left a bunch of money to his family. But Kevin Spacey did that movie. And unfortunately, you know, that's going to go down as a Kevin Spacey movie that no one wants to see. But
I still want to see it. You know, so Kevin Spacey allegedly did what he allegedly did. I really want to see that movie because Bobby Darin, as you just said, one of the all-time great stories in the history of American music. Here was a guy who, like Ronnie Van Zant of Lynyrd Skynyrd, had a premonition that he was not going to have a long life. And tragically, that came true for Bobby Darin thanks to the, well, onset of premature cardiovascular disease.
And he married, which was the female version of, you know, the biggest female pop icon of the day. So it would be like Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande marrying each other. And, you know, that's just, you don't see that a lot.
Yeah, a lot of the older stars, I actually have some of his old 45s my dad gave me.
Mm.
A lot of the older stars are the most interesting.
They are, because they couldn't talk about why they were interesting. You find out later that they, you know, had all these crazy, like, who would have known that Ray Charles had a serious heroin habit,
right,
unless you saw the movie?
Right.
That wasn't talked about.
And a lot of them, and I don't want to keep it, but I get excited about these things. A lot of the movies they've done in the past about, like, really interesting people like Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, the movies they made about them were just terrible.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there was so much more to them.
The movie about John.
Great. I mean, the Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire, that movie was terrible.
Well, the movie they made about the murder of John Lennon was low budget and terrible, too. There is a story that really needs to be told for the rock and roll historians and rock and roll fans out there, and it wasn't told very well in that movie they did do about it.
Right. And I mean, in a lot of them, it's like, there's like Elvis and so much dark sides to him. If you read about him, it's like, you know.
But he was also like the first celebrity to just lose his mind with his money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and buy things that were just totally, you know, you could, I mean, Graceland, no one, until they opened it up to the public, no one had any idea what was going on in that place. And, you know, this guy was dumping millions of dollars on the most frivolous. Do you remember that scene in The Jerk with Steve Martin where he has like a white wine and a red wine dispenser at the tennis court, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like that's what Elvis was doing. He was like putting slushy machines in the bathroom. Like,
it was on a 50% take.
Right. And of course, you know, the idea that he wanted to have a badge. There's a movie, Nixon and Elvis, that came out a few years ago, but it gets into the whole how Elvis, you know, was on serious drugs and was losing his mind. But he was really serious about joining the DEA and wanted to have a badge so he could just pull people over and be a cop and be able to buy drugs and do whatever he wanted to do. And it's not meant to be. It's a dark comedy, but it's pretty entertaining. Check it out.
Yeah, I got a picture of that in my garage. I blew it up, him and Nixon, and Elvis has got the black cape on, and his eyes are half closed.
It's awesome.
One of the most requested pictures for sale by the White House.
Is it?
Yeah, Richard Nixon and Elvis.
And the movie is really, really entertaining.
You got to have one on Nerds Gone Wild.
What, an Elvis song?
No, a movie.
There should be a movie about Nerds Gone Wild. Absolutely, positively, maybe there will be.
Right.
I claim the role of Tommy Nerd. Thank you.
Yeah, they never tell the truth about bands because VH1 did do a show called
Behind the Music
Now or whatever. But they did one on the Goo Goo Dolls, and actually John Resnick was the guitarist of my band, and Robbie Takeac's cousin was in my band, and we blew up, and they started the band, and they sugarcoated those guys' lives so bad it was.
What are you going to do? I mean, you know, that's, you know, to the rewrite history. You know,
hey, if it made him look good, more power to him. God bless him.
I wish him nothing but the best. I mean, they're doing great. So, but thanks so much for letting me speak with you today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Our pleasure. Thank you for your time and calling. So, the movie about Freddie Mercury and Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, has spawned other musical movies, movies about famous people in music to be made. There's one coming out in the not too distant future about Elton John. Personally, I think there should be a Lynyrd Skynyrd movie. I think it's a story that is just begging to be told. And I would also, I agree with you, David, there should be a movie about Jim Croce, who played right here in Western New York about 2 weeks prior to that plane crash, which took his life. And I will never forgive my brother for failing to get Jim Croce's autograph, because my brother's band was the opening act for Jim Croce on his final show in Western New York. So there needs to be a biopic or a biopic made about which performer or which band, because I loved Bohemian Rhapsody. I saw it 2 times. I will buy the DVD. I loved the movie. I love Queen, but I love Queen even more after the movie. And that's kind of the mark of a good movie about music, is do you like the band more afterwards? Do you find yourself listening to the band afterwards?
But how many fans are now Queen fans? There's a whole generation that didn't know who Freddie Mercury was. Now, and again, for me, my generation, it was Wayne's World. Wayne's World introduced me to Queen because they had the famous bit where they were doing Bohemian Rhapsody in that, what was it, the Gremlin, where they're
the Ford doing, Gremlin?
Yeah, yeah. And so that was a whole new introduction in the 90s to a band, and Live Aid, of course, but it brings it back, and for this generation, they now have a movie.
Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. It is Sue in Buffalo. Sue.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Great.
Oh, sorry, I'm in a store. The person I would really like to see a movie made about is Warren Zevon.
Warren Zevon, everybody knows Werewolves of London.
Your screener said, who?
Well, don't worry about that. Warren Zevon, okay, what is so fascinating about Warren Zevon that you believe he merits an entire 90 or 2 hour movie?
Well, I don't know if anybody read his book or you guys read his book, but he actually knew that when he died, he wanted a book written about him. So he had his ex-wife write it for him, and they had a deal before he died. And he kind of, you know, told her what stories he wanted her to tell. And
that's a dangerous thing right there.
He was with all kinds of people that worked with Warren over the years. And, you know, he lived a crazy life. And why he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is just...
Low. Well, that whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing is so ridiculously political.
Oh,
I mean,
Three Dog Night. Here's a little backup on what David just said. Three Dog Night is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know why? Because they didn't write their hit songs. Well, how do you explain Elvis being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
How do you explain any pop artist from 1981 on in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean,
yes.
It's ridiculous. The whole thing is nonsense. But what are you going to do? That should not be a barometer for who's good and who isn't. I mean, and the other thing, too, is, you know, the stories. But to me, I don't really care what their music was like. If they're fascinating, that's why you sit down and watch a movie.
Is Warren Zevon, Sue, fascinating enough to have the movie made?
Oh, absolutely. The book is called I'll Sleep When I'm Dead.
Yeah, yeah, it's a classic.
It is the greatest book, and if they could just take...
Johnny Depp owns the rights to that book.
They really need to make a movie out of it. They could do it just using the book.
Yeah, no, Johnny Depp has been trying to make that movie for years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, it's a classic, and it's he's a maniac. I mean, he's got a bunch of crazy things in his life. And
he did the drinking and the guns and Werewolves of London was written in 10 minutes as a joke.
And yes, the exact same chords. All Summer Long by Kid Rock. Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And Jason Aldean. I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his Crazy Town. D-C-G. That's it. Thanks for the call, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to play one of my favorite songs.
Okay, bye.
All right, thank you, Sue. All right, Warren Zevon is on the list from you guys, and also, who was the other person that we had? Warren Zevon, and it slipped my mind. 803-0930.
Harry Nilsson.
Harry Nilsson. That's right. That's why they can't make a movie about him, because it slipped my mind that easily.
Yeah.
803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So you think about all the great movies there have been about famous musicians like Ritchie Valens, Buddy Holly. The Big Bopper got screwed in that one. I want to see a movie about Lynyrd Skynyrd. They've got one coming out about Elton John. So who needs to have a movie told to tell the full, real story? Now, David, a few years back, they did a movie on Jimi Hendrix. And that movie could have been so much better, but it is my opinion that they really dropped the ball. I thought the casting was bad, the acting.
Well, the guy they got, was Andre 3000, who's a rap guy, you know, pop guy. But he looked just like the guy, and he's musically talented. It had all the makings of a really good movie. It was just a bad script, and it did horrible at the box office.
Yeah, and understandably so. I think he did a good job. Now, I would like to see him with a better, shall we say, surrounding cast, but they're never going to cast him again for any future Jimi Hendrix movie that is going to be made.
Right, and they're probably never going to make another Jimi Hendrix movie again.
Having seen the box office on the first one, I tend to agree with you. All right, let's go to some more calls on WBEN, and this is Bill in Williamsville. Bill, a movie needs to be made about whom?
You guys. No, I'm just kidding. Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. All right, what makes the Willie Nelson story, keep in mind, of course, he's still alive, what makes it so compelling?
Well, the guy, what a prolific songwriter. I mean, like, songs like Crazy, which was made famous by Patsy Cline. I'm showing my age, but I enjoy much younger music, too. But the guy has been around forever. He's been an influence on so many types of genre. So many movies, but the backstory, that's the interesting thing. You guys were just talking about Hendrix. How many people really know backstories about Hendrix, Elvis, Elton John?
Well, it depends. When you're talking about Jimi Hendrix, it depends on the backstory you're referencing.
I get what you're saying, and it's always a pleasure talking to you. The both of you.
No, but I mean, I wasn't even trying to give a double entendre there. As far as Jimi Hendrix, I mean, there's the drug situation, there is the relationship situation, the two children he had out of wedlock,
in the army.
And he lied to people. Jimi Hendrix said he got out of the army because in his first jump out of a plane, he broke his ankle. He wasn't around that long in the 82nd Airborne.
Right, exactly, but you know, a lot of these people, if you look into it, are quite interesting besides their, you know, fame and that. Same thing with Willie Nelson. Look at the guy. He's been around forever. He's got his own special herbs that he does for health reasons.
Oh, he does a lot of herbs.
Jokingly, but a lot. I mean, just prolific. When you go to the old Ryman, and in fact, you go to the new, when you go to the new theater, down there at Music Theater in Nashville, the picture they show people going in there, and a lot of people enjoy country western and country rock, they show the picture of him when he was younger, and nobody recognizes the guy who he is. He's been so many years of music in that.
Well, I got to tell you that you're a little bit out of my comfort zone with Willie Nelson, but I could see you've convinced me that a movie about about Willie Nelson could definitely work.
And I heard reference the gentleman that's in a band earlier was very well spoken too. I don't know the band he's in, but the Elvis story is not very well told in a lot of things. My wife, God bless me with her, that was born and raised in Memphis, and her uncle went to school with Elvis Presley at Humes High School in '53. So she saw him on the streets, a lot of stuff, and I think a lot of that is just told. Especially, why have we never seen any backstory on Colonel Tom Dirtbag, you know, Parker? The guy was unbelievable, you know, as far as ripping off Elvis and the whole background. And you don't hear anything about that.
Well, they could make that as part of a good Elvis movie.
And the other thing I was going to say, quick thing, and I'll get off the air because a lot of people. Buddy Holly, the night that he died and that he booked the plane, because quite a few of them were sick on that whole tour. Big Bopper, great movie. But Buddy Holly, which I thought was phenomenal, what a genius. Richie Valance got the bump on the plane from
Waylon Jennings.
With who?
Waylon Jennings.
Correct. And a lot of people don't know that. I mean, he joked with him when he was getting on the plane, and not from the movie. I've seen Willie and Waylon and a number of the Outlaws for years, but he said, "I hope the plane crashes," jokingly, because they were all tight as tight could be on those tours.
Well, the one guy said, "I hope the heater dies on the bus again," and the other guy said, "I hope your plane crashes," and those words haunted Waylon Jennings the rest of his life.
Yeah, unbelievable. But keep up the good work. You guys are a national treasure, believe me.
A national treasure? I wasn't expecting to be buried quite so soon. That's what you do with treasure. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call and the kind word. So they need to make a movie about whom? Which band? Which performer? You think about the movies that have been made about different people that could have been made better. David, I'm going to bounce something off you. Simon and Garfunkel, worthy of a movie or not?
There was talk of that. Their relationship is horrible.
Right.
And so one of them is going to have to die for that to happen. And that's the other problem is you don't really want... You don't want your partner to be dead when you make a movie because now it's, you know, the victor goes the spoils. Whoever's left alive gets to tell the story. And people end up being, you know, cast off as nothings. You know, Genesis. Everyone talks about, you know, Phil Collins and Genesis. Well, Peter Gabriel was the front man for a very long time.
Yes, sir.
Put them on the map. You know, are you going to tell the Phil Collins story or are you going to tell the Peter Gabriel story?
Well, the Phil Collins story would be a short story. He's like 5'5", I get to say that. Here is Richard on a cell phone on WBEN. Richard, they need to make a movie about whom?
Natalie Merchant and the 10,000 Maniacs. And
now we're getting into the weeds, but make your case.
Well, Natalie Merchant, when she started, was so young that she really couldn't, she wasn't supposed to be in the bars that she was performing in down in Jamestown.
Do you know how many nights I sat next to Natalie Merchant at the Town Restaurant downtown? A lot.
And a fabulous person, you know, a very interesting person. That's why it would be a great movie. And you probably know about Robert Buck, who was a guitarist, a very good guitarist who helped to transform that band. Every good guitarist has your brother, by the way. But he helped to transform that band, and he died after playing a gig. He had, a stomach ailment and probably should have been taking care of himself. Instead, he played a gig, internal bleeding, and died. I mean, so this guy was really that in love with his music and with his band that he put himself through that.
Well, you know why? Because if your band has a gig and you're feeling a little bit off, what you tell yourself is you need to soldier through it because your band needs you. And unfortunately, it's part of the successful entertainer's mindset. There's a lot of times you have to work when you really oughtn't to be working. A lot of times you work because you don't want to let down your partner.
And you're right. And I think that would be inspirational. And then, you know, obviously Natalie Merchant, after a while, left that band. The story of that is very interesting because she stayed longer than she really wanted to because she really cared about her band members. And how often do we hear, you know, about that?
You know, if this was a pitch meeting, I'd pass on this project. And I'm not that I hate Natalie Merchant. I think she's a Buffalo icon. By the way, the other thing is that what she was able to do in her solo career is really incredible. She was in MTV Unplugged. She had that Carnival album is a classic.
And everybody who saw Natalie Merchant sing for the very first time, everybody who saw her at their first exposure to Natalie Merchant said, wow, she's going to be a huge star.
She is by far one of the most incredible talents to come out of this region. I'm just saying, it doesn't have a story.
Are we ready for a Rick James movie?
No.
Well, I think afterwards they transformed, and now you have Mary Ramsey, and they're sort of going through a renaissance. So I think it's really perseverance, it's death, it's rebirth, it's
No, I mean that's cool. I love 10,000 Maniacs. I love Natalie Merchant. I love Western New York.
It depends on the script.
I mean, if you made a Rick James movie about coke and Studio 54
and orgies,
sign up everyone in Hollywood. But if it's, you know, a story about him clutching his chest and falling, you know, no one wants to see that.
All right, sir. Thanks for the call. We're going to get to some other folks. I can't believe the diversity of music and bands about whom people want movies made. This is pretty awesome. One line open, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. This is Marlene in Tonawanda. Marlene, you're on Bowerly in Bellevue.
Yes, hello. You're probably going to laugh at me, but I'd like to have a movie on Ricky Nelson.
Yeah, I'm not going to laugh at you. I think that's an amazing story, and his death has that, you know, that whole tragic ending that Hollywood loves.
And much like the Times Square ball, both came crashing to earth on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah, and I mean, he starts out as this wholesome, you know, teen idol on, you know, Ozzy and Harriet, and just wonder what evolves to his life. That he ends up in this, you know, this plane crash, and he's on drugs, and so I just think it would be interesting.
Have you ever heard about, you know, there's a lot of, not a conspiracy, but there was a lot of questions as to what caused that plane and the amount of drugs that were on the plane.
Yeah,
and that there was always a rumor that there was that the fire started in the bathroom.
Because someone was, yeah.
And that happens.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that happens quite a bit in Entercom at the studios where there's fire in the bathroom. But no, this was a bad one. And he really, and then his sons become rock and roll icons in the 90s.
Yeah, and they've gone on. I think sometimes they do his music actually in concerts too.
Yeah, what is it? Gunner and.
I can't remember the other
something
name.
Else.
Gunner and I can't remember the other
Shooter?
Name. Yeah, I don't know for sure.
All right, well, we're not laughing at all. It's a great story, Marlene. Thanks for the call.
No, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yes, a movie about Ricky Nelson. We're talking about movies that should be made about bands or musicians because we're all familiar with the success of the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. They're putting one out about Elton John, so we are exploring this a little bit deeper. And color me very impressed by the variety of music you guys think ought to be made into a movie. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. It's Chuck in Elma. Chuck, they need to make a music biopic about whom?
Well, actually, Netflix is jumping on the music bandwagon, and they're having a movie coming out, I believe, in 2 months, and it's going to be about Motley Crue.
Oh, do tell us more.
Oh, it looks great. They start out from their very beginnings. They go about when Vince Neil got into a car accident and killed one of his best friends. So I watched the trailer the other night. It looked really great, and I'm excited for it. A movie that I would like to see be made would be the early beginnings of Pink Floyd and Sid Barrett.
You know, I have a
tragic story.
You know, when I wrote a book and I did the tour of the book, I ended up doing a European tour and a domestic tour. And at the same time that my book came out, Nikki Sixx's Heroin Diaries came out. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm literally going from outlet to outlet in England, Scotland, and Ireland, and I'm following Nikki Sixx in these green rooms, and it was complete chaos. I mean, this guy would walk on set, light up a cigarette, do all these crazy things. I mean, amazing human being, but I would follow that, and everyone was just, he's exhausting. He exhausted everyone. And it was one of the craziest experiences of my life, seeing like a true bona fide, an absolute gentleman, by the way, but just a bona fide rock star. And the way he just is, just his life is just nuts. And the stories that were coming out of that book, I could probably tell you more stories. I sat there and listened to it for 3 weeks. I heard all of these crazy drug, alcohol stories from his days in Motley Crue. I'd watch that movie in a heartbeat, man.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm excited.
Those guys were nuts.
Share that with you and your viewers or listeners.
Yeah, that guy was nuts. That band was nuts. Did you ever hear the story about the burritos?
No.
Oh, well, I'll tell you off.
Does it involve flatulence as well?
No, it does not.
It's actually, oh, it involves something else.
No.
All righty.
Nerds Gone Wild, you playing tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night. I'm not sure where the Nerds are playing. Flipside is playing at Raintree, and I will have to go there because the singer wants to borrow my Marshall amp to check it out.
Okay.
And I'm picking up my pre-owned Ibanez tomorrow from John Lejoie. Thanks very much for the call. That's an intimate. That was an intimate call, an unexpected call.
No, I'm telling you, it was the crazy. You have no concept of how just chaotic and maddening it was. You go into a green room, there's donuts, there's whatever, and then you follow a normal person and everyone's nice to see you, everything else. You'd follow that guy and it was just smoke was everywhere. People were losing their minds. He'd rip up the bathroom. It was nuts.
Psycho.
No, it was just that's his life. They're not used to that over there. No. And it was just nuts. And the stories he would tell, everything beep beep beep. You're like nothing could make it to the air. It was insanity.
A movie about Motley Crue. You've just talked me into wanting to buy the rights to the movie to Motley Crue.
Heroin Diaries is one of the most incredible memoirs, and it's a positive story. I mean, he really turned his life around because he was on a fast track to death. Without a doubt. But I sat there, you hear the same stories over and over again, and you're like, oh, wait, tell this one. No, tell that one. That one's way funnier. But the burrito stories are the best.
It is Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN.